Hey, Chad, can you throw that lyric up there, the iron for silver and brass for gold? Can you put that on the screen for me? We were singing this song and how it was leading in us and talking to us through that. It struck me. What does it cost to get the silver? What's it cost you to get the silver? It's a trade. And so for iron, I'll give you silver. For brass, I'll give you gold. The problem is we think that our iron and our brass are really valuable stuff. They think, I can't turn loose of this iron. This is my prized possession. This iron, I can't turn loose. I can't turn loose of this iron. This iron brings me pleasure. I can't turn loose of this iron. This is the iron that's been my family heirloom, and we've always ironed this way. Yeah? Come on. Brass. Now, hold on. No. Brass, I like it. It's shiny. I can polish it up, and it looks good over here. I can't give you my brass. I can't give you my brass. I worked for this brass. I earned this brass. I can't give it to you. And he's sitting there saying, you don't understand. What you think you have is good and valuable. And what I want to give you, so much better. So much better. We talked this morning about that thing. That thing in our lives that we have. And how God says, bring that thing to me. When the man brought his thing, which was his pride, basically, to the Father, to Jesus, he said, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Basically, humiliating him. I'm not saying humiliated like made fun of and all that, but he humbled himself so much that Jesus said, now you've brought me your pride. You're willing to leave your pride here. I'm going to give you something else that's better than pride. I'm going to heal your boy. I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to start building you up from the inside out without your pride, because that's holding you back. See, sometimes our iron and our brass are so heavy, heavy. Now, if you get a whole lot of iron, if you got a whole lot of iron, if you got tons and tons of iron, it's worth a little bit of silver. And if you got brass, you've got tons and tons of brass, it's worth a little bit of gold. And we think we got tons and tons and tons of this stuff, okay? And I'm not talking money like a cow said. I'm not talking money. I'm talking about our attitudes, our behaviors, our habits, our whatever, our relationships. We think we've got all this stuff and it's valuable to us. He says, you don't have a clue. If you will bring me that stuff that you think is good and valuable, I'm going to turn it upside down and give you back something that is unbelievably. How much more? Unimaginably more valuable. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a story about a man named Naaman. Naaman was a pretty wealthy guy. He was the well-respected guy. And in verse 1 it says, now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Okay, there's a problem here. Problem. Now the Arameans had gone out into bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, I wish that my master were here with the prophet who is in Samaria, that he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. And the king of Aram said, Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 1,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, And now this is the letter that comes to you. Behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure this man of leprosy? But consider now, and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and he sent the word to the king saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Now, let him come to me, and I shall know, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, you know what tearing of the clothes represented in Old Testament times? Frustrated, desperation, complete and utter, I'm undone with myself, I don't know what to do, sometimes the priest, I'm not sure if it was which one it was, but in the trials of Jesus, when they were, if I remember right, when they asked him, who do you say that you are? And I can't quote it exactly, but basically they asked him, are you really the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. And he tore his clothes and said, this is blasphemy and whatnot. Okay? I didn't get the story exactly right. Please don't hang me on that. But he tore his clothes. Sometimes when the nation was in great turmoil, they would tear their clothes. It was a sign of, oh no. Well, the king of Israel, he tore his clothes. He's like, I'm between a rock and a hard spot. He's sending word to me to cure his servant. I can't cure his servant. And if I can't cure his servant, it's going to look real bad, and he's going to come in and have war with us. So he was really distressed. So Elisha came up and he said, hang on a minute. Don't have a cow. Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, verse 9, and his chariots, and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought surely he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. He thought, surely Elisha would come out and do his thing for my thing. And he would heal my thing, my leprosy. He would come out and say some magic words and call on his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my thing, of my leprosy. And he said this in verse 12, Are not Abinah and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, Wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What do we get from this? What do we get from this? Naaman had a thing, did he not? He had a thing. His thing was leprosy, and that's what he needed, was to be cured of leprosy, right? Well, wait a minute. That's what he wanted. What he needed was to be humbled. You see where I'm going with this? He came and said, I need to be cleaned, cured of leprosy. And God said, well, you want that, but what you need is to recognize me. You need to be humbled. You've been awful prideful. You're a great man. You got all kinds of, you got everything you want, and it's gone to your head. And I know that you say your rivers back in your home country are clean and pure, and the River Jordan is really just a kind of a muddy stream. We stood by it, and it was covered with cane on each side, and there's muddy water in the middle, not anything fancy to speak of. And he was like, are you kidding me? I am a great man. I am Naaman. Why would I dip myself in a foreign country's dirty waters when I can go back and dip myself in my own clean waters and be clean if that's what it takes? But then the servant came to him and said, hang on a minute. If he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then to do this simple thing, humble yourself and do as he said? And he did. And what happened? When he did what he needed to do, he got what he wanted God to do. You see how that happened? It wasn't that his greatest need, was his greatest need to be cured of leprosy? No. Now the disease, this thing he had, was killing him. Now Naaman did what he thought was beneath him. He did what he thought was beneath him because the thing had gotten the best of him. The thing, the leprosy. So he did what was beneath him. He humbled himself. God said, now you've got what you needed. What you needed was humility. Now, and I'll cure your leprosy. The thing behind his thing. Remember I said that this morning. There's always usually a thing behind the thing. Well, the thing behind his thing was his pride. The thing behind the thing was his pride. He wanted clean skin, but God wanted his pride gone. What are other things that sometimes we think? This is where you come in. What are other things in our lives or in other people's lives that come in and we think that that's the issue, that's the deal, that's what I need, when God could be saying, yeah, I get that, but you, what your greater need is this. Anybody have any ideas? One this morning I mentioned was a job. God, I need a better job to make more money. And God may be saying, yeah, I get that, but your greater need is to be able to manage the money you have right now in this job. You see, because the problem is, you make more money, you keep the same habits you've got, you're going to end up spending more money, and you're never going to balance. You're always going to be in the red. So it's a greater need. Frida, you had one. Okay. That's she says that's her thing, is being willing to step back and allow somebody else to help her. Why is that? What's the thing behind that thing?
Okay, I've always been off.
Okay. And I think we could probably all identify with that. I know I can. I don't want to ask for help when there's something that I can do. Why is that? Well, for me, the thing behind that thing is pride. It's pride. Sometimes I don't want to be felt as vulnerable and need help, right? And then sometimes I don't want other people to help me so that I can say I did it all by myself. I'm just being honest with you folks. None of you can identify with that. Somebody else. Some other things.
Marriages.
Tell me.
Restore marriages. Not to just restore them, but to restore the people in them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay.
If you restore them, then they have changed and nothing's changed.
Okay. We think Lord, just make this relationship better. Make it to where we can get along better. And the Lord may be saying, okay, you remember what happened this morning when they brought the boy to Jesus? What happened when they first brought him up? It got worse. It got ugly. It got nasty. And sometimes, I've seen it, and sometimes in marriages, it has to get to a point of just downright ugliness for both parties to realize, whoa, this is about more than just you and my relationship. It's more than that. And God brings people to that point sometimes so they realize that there's a lot more healing, a lot more work that needs to take place. The spectrum has widened, and there's other things. Great point, Sherry. Thank you. Somebody else. The thing. What things do we have? What's our thing? And then what may be the thing behind that thing? Anybody else? Amen. That is an answer to prayer. It's an ongoing answer. Okay, it's an ongoing answer. But every morning when she wakes up, it's a brand new day. That's right. It's an ongoing answer. Thank you for sharing that, Yolanda.
Digging up old bones. Always saying shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Uh-huh. Okay, digging up old bones. Either I wish I'd have done this back then, or maybe even sometimes digging up old bones means, yeah, I said that I forgive this person, but man, I don't really want to. I like to say I did, but I don't really want to because I want to hold on to that for a little while longer. Sometimes it's that too. And what's the thing behind that thing? Well, part of it's pride. Part of it's a selfishness that we don't want to turn loose of something. Sometimes it's a regret and not allowing where when we've asked for forgiveness and God has forgiven us, sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Right? Good point. Good point. Anybody else?
Keeping up with the Joneses.
I got to have the latest, greatest iPhone, right? No, you don't. I do, but you don't. Would you guys say something?
How about fear?
Fear. Tell me.
Well, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else but myself, but I have a fear of the highways. You know, you would never go down the highways and sit on the beer road for a long time. I just didn't believe God could get me through it.
Fear of the future.
Fear of the future, the unknown. Anything that's unknown, right? Yeah. What does that person really think of me? Because we don't know. We always don't you know that if when we start thinking about stuff that we don't know about, the unknown stuff, where do we often lean? To the best or the worst scenario? The worst. We do. And you know, I know some people that can never be happy. Because if they were happy, they wouldn't have something to gripe about. Nobody in this church, you know, I'm just saying. But there's a man I know that he was always, whatever it is, things could be going great, but there was always something to gripe about. And some people just live in that. Well, what's the thing behind that thing? Can somebody help me out? What's the thing behind that thing? Oh, doesn't have any peace. Okay. With a new rope. The thing behind that thing is often things like, it could be. It could also be some warped sense of, it brings me attention. It puts the focus on me and allows me to vent and make my frustrations, even if they're not real frustrations, I can still vent that. And could be insecurity. Absolutely, could be insecurity. It could rub off on you. Absolutely, I believe that, folks. Okay, could be lots of things. Could be lots of things. I love that. You are who you hang with, right? That's right. That's right. These things that we've been talking about, these things, our thing, that's kind of was the title of the message today, our thing. There's a verse. Can anybody in the room quote Romans 8:28? All what? All what? All things. We're talking about things, right? Even my thing, even my depression, even my fear, even my unwillingness to allow somebody to help me. All these things. Now, which ones of these things can work together for good? All. Oh, I thought they were going to put it on the screen. I'm at Romans 8:28. All. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Now, let me ask you a question. In order for this to work, I see a couple stipulations there. Do you not? What's the first stipulation? Gotta love who? God. What's that mean? What's that look like? Well, we'd be here all night. Obedience, right? Faithfulness, right? Honesty, genuineness. Deny ourselves. To love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. You see, we like to say, well, I've been called according to my purpose. What's my purpose? To accomplish this, 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 and this. And that's not necessarily the same purpose as God has for us. So if we love God and we've been called according to His purpose, now here's the deal. If you love God and you've received Christ, then He has called you to His purpose. What is His purpose? To serve Him. To love the Lord your God with all your what? All your heart, soul, mind, strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. To love up, to love out. We did a great illustration of that just a while ago. Thank you, Hal, for that, by the way. We prayed for our community. I prayed specifically that God would challenge us to be willing to go to the community. It's one thing to set up a flag and say, here we are, if you want some, come get it. It's another thing to be willing to go and say, look, friend, neighbor, nephew, whatever. There's something that, do what?
Brother.
There's something special that I think you need. And I would like to show you or tell you about how you can get it. Or maybe you can't do all that. Maybe you can just say, look, there's a guy down there, this big old ugly bald-headed guy, and he wants to tell you something. Would you just come with me next Sunday? Works too. He's going to hear the gospel message, folks. All things work together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Further down in that chapter, verses 35 through 37, says this: Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. For 37. Read it with me. But, where are we at? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. No, in all these things, we are, and I love it, He doesn't say we are conquerors. He says we are more Amen. than conquerors through him who loved us. You know how you can be more than yourself? You know how you can be more than yourself? Only because of Jesus. That's how you can be more than conquerors. And you can only do it through him who loved us. That's Jesus. And all these things. The Bible, as I was studying for this message and this passages today, things are all throughout the Bible. Anything, everything, something, nothing, things, and all these things. And all things work together. All kinds of things. What is your thing? What is your thing? I'll tell you. Whatever your thing is, remember our passage we started with on this journey this morning, Mark 9 and verse 23. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. It's one thing to say, I believe God can do this stuff. It's another thing to say, I believe that God will do. Yeah? It's one thing to say, I believe that God can do all these things, but for us to sit back and say, yeah, but that really doesn't apply to me. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I don't know my Bible enough, or I don't need that enough yet. Ooh. Someday I might get to the point where I really, really need that. Right now I can put up with it. It's manageable. All things. I love it. Jesus said, bring that boy to me. Bring it. Just bring it. Bring that boy to me. Folks, what do you need to bring to Jesus? What do you need to bring? And it takes this. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. As I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. But I want people praying for me that believe. The prayer, the one doing the praying, needs to believe. Do you agree with that? The Bible says it. The person being prayed for needs to believe. We studied that this morning too. Faith, belief. Yeah. And folks, if you don't have it, don't fake it. Come to maybe that's your thing. Maybe that's your thing is I'm trying to impress people they'll think that I'm that I know my Bible, that I am have this great relationship with God. Maybe I want them to think that. Maybe your thing behind that is there's really not much there. That's okay. Just bring it. Just like the man said, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. He was honest with God. That's all he wants from us, folks. If we just get honest with him, then he says, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now we've gotten it down. We've torn it down all the way to the bottom. Now let's start building it up, and let's build it better this time. Let's build it right. Let's build it good. Let's build it strong. Let's build it sturdy. Let's build it more maneuverable. Let's make it the new and improved version. Yeah? That's what he says. But before we can do that, remember, he says, In the song we sang, you want gold? You want silver? Well, you got to turn in your pig iron. You got to turn in your recycled brass. All that stuff you think is good, you got to turn that in, and I'm going to bless you. But give it. Bring it. Bring me your thing. Bring your things here, and I will restore you more than conquerors. More than enough. Amen? What's your thing tonight? I want to close with just a time of prayer tonight.